Hello, this is Esperanza Phoenix, and welcome to Unpacking Life's Crazy, a podcast about a lifetime of unfortunate, unusual, and enlightening experiences, and how some of us use humor and hope to survive mental illness. In our podcast, we discuss controversial and adult topics. We are all adults here. There will be swearing. For the interview today, I am so happy and so relieved to have Johnny Korn back. Hello, Johnny.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, like I said, I might get emotional. I'm so happy to see your face. How are you?
I'm getting on.
Well, the fact that you're sitting there looking at me is just awesome. Just a little recap. Before I aired our first interview together, you were in a crazy accident and sent to the hospital, and it was really scary and nobody really knew what was going on for a while. So tell us what all happened. You were driving for DoorDash. We talked about that in the interview.
Right.
And then bam.
Well, so I'm primarily in normal times a comedian and actor, but not a lot of that stuff's happening right now. So I was doing DoorDash, getting
right
by like we all are. I was driving, and my little mom, may she rest in peace.
No.
And I was driving and my eyesight went out.
Oh.
Now.
So like you just suddenly couldn't see.
I couldn't see. Now, I knew that there was no cars parked on the side of the road because that was all cleared for construction, but there's no construction going on. And I knew that there was a parking lot that was right there, and that if I can get my car into that parking lot, I wouldn't be hitting anybody. I'd be okay.
Oh my God. So you suddenly can't see, but you're still driving.
Yeah. So I pull over and somehow didn't quite make the parking lot. I made the pull that was adjacent to the parking lot.
Oh.
And so I
crashed into a pole.
So I crashed into a pole. Now, when I was in the street, I was doing something like 40 miles per hour. When I hit the pole, I was about 15 is what they're estimating. So I must have been slowing down.
Well, that's good. I mean,
yeah, I don't remember that, but I guess I was slowing down. And so I then get this guy comes running over. Takes the keys from me and like, no, you're not driving.
Oh my gosh. So he probably assumed you were drunk or something.
Yeah. And called 911 and the police thought I was drunk as well.
Oh geez.
I was completely disoriented from what I understand. I have to take people's word for this. The ambulance came and I ended up going to the hospital, and they're attributing the loss of eyesight to a sudden drop in blood pressure.
Wow.
And that was caused, they eventually found out, by a ruptured spleen. So I had actually an aneurysm of the spleen.
Oh my gosh, that's so weird. I mean, people rupture their spleen all the time when they get into an accident. But your spleen like ruptured, which caused you to have the accident.
That's exactly it. And a lot of people are having a hard time getting the order.
Yeah, I guess, because your spleen just spontaneously combusted? I mean,
yeah, basically. It
just blew up.
It basically just decided, hey, nah, I've had it.
Wow.
I'm out. And so I had the spleen removed along with a third of my pancreas.
Wow.
And
a lot of people bleed to death from a ruptured spleen too. Like if they get in an accident, it doesn't get taken care of right away. I've heard that people can bleed out real quick with that.
Well, and here's the thing. If I didn't get into that accident, that guy hadn't come over, if he hadn't called 911, I may not be here. And trust me, any day above ground is a good thing.
Wow.
So he very well may have saved my life. Now, I have no idea what his name is. Red Mazda. You may remember that.
So the one who called 911 because of the red Mazda that crashed into the utility pole, we're very happy.
And so, but I had issues even when I was in the hospital. So they I got operated on 5 times. They finally got everything done.
5 times. So did they like have to keep going back in to figure out
because I wouldn't
what
stop
was happening?
Any. They went in and they tried to save the pancreas first, not the pancreas, the spleen first.
Uh-huh.
And it just became to a point where they knew this is a complete loss. So they removed it. And, I ended up with an infection. I mean, this is after, I was sealed up. I was sent to ICU And I had a pretty bad infection, as well as I had a breathing tube at one point. I had an infection in my lungs.
So you had an infection in your lungs, but this was not COVID related.
No, not at all. And in fact, I had the COVID test several times now.
Oh, wow.
It's like the COVID thing.
Uh-huh.
They stick this very long, like Q-tip trademark. I get it. Swab. it was, but I remember that test because as sick as I was like, ugh. It was like scratching your brain.
Ugh.
You know, it's the best way to describe it. Going up your nose and scratching your brain.
Ouch.
But so I had those tests and no, they're all negative. And so not COVID related at all. My doctors don't seem to know. Including my primary care physician, what the hell this was. So, and I was in pretty good health before that. And I was doing several shows a day at one point in time. And then when things slowed down, I mean, I was just going and going and going and going and doing all these Skype auditions and the new world of Zoom and Zoom comedy. You caught me on a good day. My speech is pretty good today.
Yeah, you said something about you needing to meet with a speech therapist, but you're sound yourself to me.
Well, and I feel more myself. I'll get back to this. This is what they call a cliffhanger. You kind of tell part of the story, and then you're like, huh.
It's foreshadowing.
Yeah, it's foreshadowing. I ended up with several problems when I left. I had a problem with speech.
Mm-hmm.
I forget words. I still do sometimes. Like, this is a cane. But what? Oop, damn. Ow.
Okay, yeah, don't whack yourself with it.
I whacked myself.
Yeah, don't do that.
Anyway, so that's a walking stick or a cane. Okay. And so, but I would forget, I'm using it as an example. Uh-huh. I would just forget, what is that called?
That can happen with just stress and trauma, just like.
Yeah, I had that going, and my speech was very slow when I would talk. And I had to kind of force it out to the point where people thought I was drunk. And it's like, no, I'm not drunk. I just can't speak.
Right.
I have a great speech therapist now. I've been improved. In fact, I've been out of the rehab place and home recuperating, and my condition's improved vastly.
Well, yeah, I'm sure just, you know, being home with Donna and being back in your own familiar space and being able to eat real food because hospital food sucks.
And I lost 40 pounds.
Oh, my God. And you're skinny anyways.
Yeah, and I didn't have that weight to lose. So when I came out of the hospital, I felt like I looked like Skeletor.
Oh, jeez.
True story. So what happened was I was in rehab. You know, I had a pretty long beard by that time because they had not shaved me or gave me a trim or anything.
So you came out with like the Rip Van Winkle look.
Yeah, I was looking homeless.
Oh, jeez.
I was looking like a mountain man. And they bring me into rehab, and I was in rehab for, we'll say a week. I don't know, around there. Mm-hmm. And I heard this lady was going around and she was giving people trims. Uh-huh. I'm like, great, can trim this beard up, right? And so I shared a room with another patient.
Right.
So shaved his hair off, which is what he wanted.
Okay.
He wanted like all of this gone. Because I guess that normally he was like that. Came over to me. And I said, hey, could you trim this up a little bit? Don't worry about the hair on top. Uh-huh. But this one. And so then the next thing I know, zing. And one side is gone. And I'm like, stop. Trim. Not okay, I'll tell you what. Fine. Do the same thing on the other side, but keep the middle. Keep
all right.
You can do both sides, and then I'll end up with either Van Dyke or I'll end up with something. Uh-huh. Well, and they did the other side, and it was all uneven. So my beard was like kind of like what was left. When I came home, I actually, one of the first things I did, I took what I had and I kind of cleaned it up. So this stuff is growing in on both sides here, but that's, I trim the middle, like everything else down. So it all looks uniform when it grows in. But yeah, so that's one experience.
An unpleasant hair cutting experience in the hospital. Who would have thought?
And you got to see now I got to tell you about some of the hallucinations, which I'll get to in a minute. So some of the other things that had happened to me while in the hospital, I ran a fever that was so high that they were packing me with what I call ice, but it's like technically not what it was, but they're
like those gel packs and stuff.
Yeah, like I was in a cooler and they're packing all this stuff around to try to keep my temperature low.
Oh, weird.
To reduce my temperature.
Yeah.
Because my temperature was that high because my infection had gotten pretty bad. Yeah. Any one of these things could have killed me. But I had like four of these things going on at the same time. But the temperature did finally break and it came down. And then I had to have like treatments to try to get all that stuff out of my lungs.
So is that just because the infection just went everywhere? Is that why your lungs were having a problem? It seems like the lung isn't exactly connected. Exactly.
There are a couple different infections going on. Lucky me. So, hey, for a guy that values his health and is like, you know, hey, I'm going to do everything right.
Sure threw a monkey wrench in that, didn't it?
Yeah, it's like, you know, washing my hands 20 million times a day, wearing a mask, staying 20 feet from someone.
Yeah, and you're not a smoker, and you try to keep healthy and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Still, you know, I try to eat responsibly, but I mean, I grant you, get me a nice steak, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Hey, as long as it's grass-fed, that's good for you.
Yeah, and that's it. It would be grass-fed or organic.
Yeah. Yep, me too.
But since I've been out, I've been eating twigs and...
I hear broccoli sprouts are especially good for you, you know.
Well, and I have these juices that I've been drinking that are that were sent to me from by a friend.
Oh, that's nice.
And yeah, so they're like all these different grasses and insects.
Oh, nice.
And I've been drinking those with dinner, and then like breakfast, I'm having a bowl of fruit and you know, trying to. But none of that would have made a difference with what happened.
Because nobody knows what caused it. You just like, that's just so random.
Yeah, it's random. And so I get transferred to rehab. And I remember this being transferred because I kept thinking, oh, God, today's going to be like yesterday. It's going to be like tomorrow. Nothing's going to happen. It's going to be laying here in this bed.
You had hit the recuperation point where you were starting to get bored.
Before I went to rehab. I started actually, this is how bored I got. I started doing drawings, which I've never drawn much at all. So I took up drawing when I was in the hospital and rehab.
Oh, that's exciting. Now I'm anxious to see your drawings because that's what I actually, that's the only way that I make money right now is through my art.
I got to dig them up because I've got paperwork like this big.
Yeah,
and I know they're in there. I kept them because I was looking at this later on going like, huh, that's actually not half bad.
Well, now I'm curious. Now we have to have another discussion about that. So you got so bored that you became an artist.
Yeah, I mean, I now here's the thing too is that I would write how I was feeling, the things I was experiencing, that sort of thing. So because I realized that this is a part of my experience, I have to be able to make this into funny later.
Yeah, yeah.
But until I find my funny, just write everything down as I remember it.
Well, and not only that, but it fades so quickly.
Yeah, and then I look back on, I read back some of the stuff, and I'm glad I wrote it down. I don't remember half the stuff later, now.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's amazing how the mind kind of does what it does, but I had amazing hallucinations.
Did you?
Oh my God, they're fantastic. And so they have to make their way into my stand-up at some point in time, whenever... but one that I had was that the surgeons came in to visit me, and they said, "We're the surgeons," and they struck a pose, all blowing like wind, their hair's blowing in the wind, and like they're posing for a TV show, and you know, so that happened.
You're like, I don't think you should be operating on me. That's too cheesy.
Well, and I was in a bed, you know, I was confined to the bed, and there were a couple days where I just couldn't. And this is one of those days where I knew I was pretty loopy, where I'm out of it, but in it enough that I know that I'm not all there.
Mm-hmm.
But then there was a song and dance thing that happened around where all these nurses and doctors, and they're all dancing and singing. With jazz hands and everything. So that, and I was in my bed, it's all happening around me. And so all I'm saying is whatever happened, they gave me the good stuff.
So even when you get sent to intensive care, it's apparently a musical.
It evidently was a musical, and I was on ice in a musical. I don't know if the fever was causing the hallucinations or the drugs.
Yeah, both of those things could have contributed.
It was kind of a combination between the two that I was in at the time.
Wow.
And it's funny, like for the first several weeks, because I had lost so much weight that I looked gone. I had I have high cheekbones to begin with, but my face is kind of sunken in a little bit. And I had all these ribs in my chest that you can see. And so I was like, actually took it up on myself. To be like, nah, nobody's going to see a picture of me. Not no selfies, no nothing.
Uh-huh.
I'm just not going to. And I said, I'm not doing stand up. I'm not doing any appearances anywhere.
Right.
So I'll be like this all-knowing and powerful that might be out there. You don't know if Johnny Corden exists or not. But
well, I hope you took some for your own benefit, though, so you could look back and remember just how bad it was.
I did not, because it was just like, no, I'm not going to do it. I was so emphatic about it because I didn't want any evidence that I was that bad.
Uh-huh.
And but Donna remembers.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Donna's my wife, by the way.
Oh, yeah, we didn't specify. Donna isn't some strange maid that lives. No, Donna's the love of your life.
Yeah, November 10th. Ooh, it's coming up. We've been dating for 32 years.
Wow.
Yeah, so she was there, and when I was in intensive care, she could visit me. But then when I got better, she couldn't visit me. But the reason why they allowed her to visit me, the logic was because I could go either way.
Uh-huh.
And so they wanted her and I to have that experience.
Right.
In case I didn't pull it through.
Yikes.
Yeah, that's how sick I was.
That's scary.
Yeah, and it's funny because usually I do the peace sign or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then I realized, like, when I was in the hospital, I would try to say thank you, and nothing would come out of my mouth.
Oh, weird.
And so the brain was there, but nothing was happening. So I gave the thumbs up. Yeah, to the nurses and such, so I kept giving thumbs up.
Yeah,
it was a weird experience.
Well, us on the outside were anxiously awaiting word on what all happened. We were very grateful that a friend of yours right away started a GoFundMe for you. And it's still up. So if you guys are listening, please send some more money. It's about $1,500 shy of reaching the goal. And obviously, Johnny is still recuperating and he's not going to be driving anywhere for a while. So you can contribute.
I have medical bills too.
Medical bills and just not being able to work. And I know times are hard for everybody, but this is especially crazy circumstance. So I encourage you. It's just Johnny Corden needs your help. GoFundMe, please.
Now, when you looked it up, because I know you looked it up the other day.
Uh-huh.
Were you able to just type in, what do you type in?
It's titled as Johnny Corden needs your help, but I will be sharing the link again on my podcast page, so people will be able to find it there. I will post it again on my website. So there are several different ways that you can hopefully find it if you go to any of the social media sites for this podcast, Unpacking Life's Crazy. You'll be able to find it there, and you can also look Johnny up on Facebook and be his friend.
Yes, I'm almost at 5,000 now, so I'm almost at the break. Although you could like me,
you can like him. You can like Johnny on Facebook, and
well, two things. I have two different thoughts going on, which tells you I'm getting better.
Yay.
He's
getting ADD. Yay.
Yes. I remember at one point in time, I was like, I'm going to have my fans on my regular Facebook page. I'm not worried about my fan page because I'll never get to 5,000. Well.
Well, there you go. Now you have to move over to that fan page thing.
Yeah, and I'm also on Instagram. I'm on Twitter. I'm on all of them. I haven't really been updating a whole lot because, well, I was in the hospital.
Yeah, you were kind of... How long was that whole thing? I mean, it seemed like from forever from the outside. I'm sure from the inside, it seemed even worse. How long were you in the hospital and then rehab before you finally got to come home?
Oh, gosh, probably about 5 weeks or so, something like that.
Wow.
Four and a half weeks, 5 weeks. I'd have to look at the calendar.
No, I think you're right. I think it must have been at least 5 weeks. It seemed a really long time.
Well, and when I first got out, I didn't want anyone to see me or hear from me because I couldn't speak real well. I was very frail, and I just didn't want people to see me like that. I knew I'm getting better when I can find the funny.
Yeah.
If I'm able to find the funny, then yeah. And so I think the very first thing I wrote on Facebook after, just besides the, hey, thank you for this and that,
mm-hmm.
I'm back.
Yeah, we were just relieved to see that message right there. It's like, okay, it's coming from Johnny. That means he's stable enough to send out a message. So yay.
You know, for a long time it wasn't. And
right.
then thank you to Catherine, by the way, for creating the GoFundMe, which I had no idea it was going on when it was going on. Of course, I was oblivious to the world. I had no TV. I was out of it anyway. The whole world could have ended. I wouldn't have known. But she actually took the initiative to create the GoFundMe page.
Yeah, that was great. And like I said, this happened before I even released the first interview with you. And I had sent you messages saying, hey, the interview's released. And then I didn't hear anything. I was like, oh, that's really weird because Johnny's really responsive. And I heard nothing back. I was like, huh, that's so strange. And then she posted the GoFundMe about the basics of what happened. And I was like, oh my God, what is going on? And it was just crazy. And then after, you know, still not hearing anything for over a week, I think I was when I messaged Reggie to ask him if he knew what was going on, because I was like, Jesus, you know, how bad is this? What? And he didn't even know for a long time. It's like nobody really knew. All we knew was there had been an accident and that's it.
Well, and for those that don't know, Reggie is my comedy partner. Is the best way to say it. The very first thing that Donna did, this is, it tells you how close he and I are. So Donna doesn't hear from me that night. And so she,
she must have been terrified.
She put a missing person out on me.
I bet.
I was taken into the hospital because I was in such bad shape. They didn't look in my wallet or whatever. They just took me in. They just took me in as a John Doe.
Oh.
Because they need to get me into theater right away to stop the bleeding.
She must have been at home just going insane.
Right. So what's one of the first calls that she makes? No call for me. And I'm typing all day. I'm like texting.
Right.
Yeah. So she and I are in contact constantly. And for me not to be in contact with her at all, it's just not like me. And so she goes and gets in contact with Reggie, like the first thing, gets in contact with Reggie. Is he over there? Did you guys, because he lives in the same complex as me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not been unknown for the two of us to have a conversation or what have you, but
mm-hmm.
but I tell her, hey, I ran into Reggie.
Right.
Yeah, I always text her. So she's thinking, well, maybe that's it. And no, that wasn't it. And she's gone around like all of my friends that she can find.
Oh, gosh.
And but she started with Reggie.
Oh, wow.
And so she gets a call about 1 o'clock in the morning, 1:30, something like that. And they say, we have your husband here. He has the hospital.
Oh.
And then they explained the situation. And that's when she finally knew the depth of actually what was going on. And I think the worst of it for me, if it were Donna, if it were, mm-hmm. situation was reversed, I would be not knowing. I think would
yeah,
be
yeah, yeah. Just you just being vanished for that amount of time. That would just that coming from me. If that happened to my boyfriend, I would be out of my head with worry. I would just, and then to get a call from the hospital and find out that there's reason for that worry and that the worst case scenario that was possibly running through your head is sort of a reality. You know. Ugh.
Also, keep in mind this is how strong a person Donna is. She's answering everybody's questions about what's going on with me. Right. While she's going through this with me, because it was an unknown for her.
Yeah.
Was she going to be a widow? Was she not? Right.
That's why I messaged Reggie and not Donna, by the way.
Everybody and their mother were texting Donna. She was just, you know, like a real trooper. She was like telling everybody everything that she knew. But see, my sister, Audrey, and she's not a public person. Right. So.
Yeah, I know that you'd said that about her.
But what she did do was she was given updates on her Facebook page. So like relatives of ours would see it and then like, okay, cool. So that took some people that didn't have to then call. And I appreciate that. My sister Mary was doing the same. I have three older sisters and a younger brother. My brother does not want to be on Facebook. He doesn't want to be on social media. And then my sister Erin's the same way. Like, no, not going to do it.
Uh-huh.
And so the two of them, it's all like, you know, phone call.
Right. They're traditionalist.
Yes. And I was just thinking about this the other day. He and I and my sister Audrey worked at a place called the Ritz Pub and Pizzeria. Gone. I mean, it's been gone for millennia. But that's where I first did stand-up comedy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was in the kitchen goofing off, and they said, why don't you do a comedy show?
So they said, stop goofing off in there and come out here and goof off in public?
Exactly. So that's what I did. So that's how I got into comedy. But my brother worked in kitchen preparing food. My sister waited. I was actually worked in the kitchen some days, and other days I was busing. I was all over the place. I was whatever they needed that day was what I did.
Uh-huh.
And but, you know, that's how close like I am with my siblings, is that you get three or four of us working together.
Mm-hmm. That's lucky. You're very yeah. fortunate to have that experience, to be able to be so close to your siblings. I bet they were worried sick.
Well, you know, and it's funny because my brother would text Donna. I bet you it's because he knew that so many people are calling and whatever, Donna,
uh-huh.
that he was like, when she gets a chance.
Well, that was kind of him to think that way. Well, I am just thrilled to see you. You're looking really good. You've got color to your face. It's just great to hear and see you. Nobody else can see you, but I am so happy to see you and relieved that you're okay, because I was really worried.
Everybody was. Hey, it's good to be above ground.
You were a recurring theme on the podcast while you were away, of me saying either, no, I hadn't heard anything, or this is the latest I've heard.
Well, and I didn't realize how good, I mean, I did. I'm rewinding. I have the best friends in the universe, and they were all really there for Donna, as well as Donna's friends. And I realized that nobody knew what was going on. And you're the very first interview I've given post-discharge.
Well, I'm honored. Thank you for coming and sharing your experience with everybody.
Well, you're welcome. I actually was of the opinion, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to sit here and heal. But then I'm like, you know what? My speech is pretty good now.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get around real easily, but I can. But if I'm sitting down...
How hard is it? Your mouth works?
Yeah, my mouth works, and my brain's working properly now. I've gained a lot of weight, actually. I'm almost
well, if you
where
need
I was.
More, you know, I'm willing to donate some of my COVID pounds. I volunteer tribute.
And then, and I haven't told anyone this, now I have to finish that sentence. I was approached... I almost said confronted, which I'm like, that's not the right step. If the director of this movie hears this, he's going to be going like, confronted? What? No, I was approached to do a movie, and it takes place in the 70s.
Uh-huh.
But I told him I can't do it because I'm healing.
Uh-huh.
So we will see. But it sounds like they may have a smaller role for me.
Well, that's good that they're still like trying to have something there for you.
Yeah, which I appreciate. But and it helps that I've done a couple different movies with him. Well, projects, I should say, because there's a TV pilot in there, too. But
uh-huh.
there's a couple different things that we did together. And one of my favorite directors in the whole world. Hi, Michael. But I have work for me after COVID and after I recover.
Right.
I just got to get from here to there.
Right.
Without any money.
Yeah. Okay. Donate, please.
Yes.
Well, I don't know if you've listened to any of the recent podcasts, but we discussed you during my last interview with a mutual friend, Aiden Park.
I love Aiden.
Yeah.
Oh,
he loves you too. Yeah. Aiden came on.
He's one of my favorite people in the universe.
Yeah, Aiden came on. He just released a book.
I missed it.
That was the last interview I did was with Aiden. I just messaged him out of the blue to say, hey, you know, I've got this podcast and if you want to come on and talk about anything. And he's like, oh, by the way, I have a book, The Art of Being Yay.
Oh, nice.
You'll
tell
love
what,
it.
If people have not checked out Aiden Park, check him out. Because like, one, he's funny as all hell. He and I are very good friends. He best described as a Northern California comedian at one point in time. He was actually out of San Francisco. His family lives there. And then he's now a Los Angeles comedian. And he's so talented. You know, did the book.
Yeah, it's about his life and finding happiness after losing his husband and all of that. But just his whole progression of immigration and all of that. So, yeah, it's pretty exciting. He came on. And so, of course, you were still in the hospital at the time. So we wound up talking about you a little bit and your situation. Yeah. And just Aiden is the guy who hired me to be a bubble performer.
Me too.
He was booking people here. We talked a little bit. About some of the, I guess, in his book are some of the loser bubble people that came.
Now I got to get that book. I'll tell you, though, I really enjoyed doing Bubbles. And actually, the thing with it was I felt I took it on as if it's the same thing to me as doing a stage performance or doing stand-up comedy. Yeah. Because I've done acting and stand-up.
Right.
Both stage primarily, but I took it very seriously. And when I would have a show that I wasn't up to my standard, I would beat myself up.
Yeah.
And these are kids' shows.
I know. And sometimes you just, they're just so incredibly unpredictable. Like there was one time I remember in particular where I had a toddler in the tub and they just like, I don't even know what he did, but he like dove for it. And I like had to jump forward and like rescue him before he jumped into the bubble tube.
Oh, we've all done it. The thing is, I will say this, Aiden got me into Bubbles, convinced me to do the Bubble Mania.
Uh-huh.
You do the bubble shows. And that's made me a better comedian because the one thing you can't predict, children are crazy. They'll do whatever. So basically, it's helped me with my reflexes. I'm wearing this girdle.
Yeah, you got to keep everything in.
So I literally, I can't move my torso at all.
Right.
So, hey, hire me for Bubbles.
Yeah, doing the bubble shows for kids is the ultimate in, now I'm blanking on the word, improv. I can't believe I forgot the word improv. It's the ultimate in improv, because even when you've got your shtick and you're doing your thing, you never know when a kid is going to do something. I had a birthday party. It's like, okay, so I don't do a lot of stand-up, but I'm not too worried about hecklers because, like, I have been heckled by an 8-year-old. Making farting noises and animal sounds. And it was the brother of the birthday kid. A delicate situation when you're dealing with a child heckler. You can't exactly tell them off.
It's funny because like whenever that would happen where they're siblings, I'm like, sure. And then I'd do something involving both the birthday person.
Right, right.
The sibling, because get that kid to shut up. The funny thing is, like, when you're walking around like with a cane and stuff, I can imagine doing a bubble show where I'm here.
Come up with a cane. Well, when you're all better, you know, you can pull a Willy Wonka. You've heard the story about Gene Wilder and the Willy Wonka bit, right?
Remind me.
At the very beginning, you know, when you first meet Willy Wonka, he comes out all decrepit and then he flips a somersault.
Right.
Right? Well, apparently Gene Wilder said unless they let him do that bit, he wasn't going to take the part.
See, and I might, who knows? I used to be a cheerleader in high school and also a mascot. And so I used to do backflips.
Wow.
And so now I haven't done backflip in 30 years, but if I can get the backflip thing going.
There you go. Get yourself all trained up. You can open up with a big old Willy Wonka when you finally get out there again, and we'll all be very impressed. Well, you're fortunate that you were sequestered from the news and the craziness of all of the election coverage and the insanity. But I want to bring up the election because by the time this airs, we will be 3 days away from Election Day. Everybody, go vote.
Yeah, please vote. Vote early, vote often. Remember, every vote counts.
Every vote counts.
And every two are worth a nickel.
Definitely get out the vote. And I have heard that both Lyft and Uber are offering free rides to the polls. And California, I think they're still really good about, you know, as long as your ballot is mailed by Election Day, but there's a lot of shady business going on. So don't take any chances. If you're doing absentee, please put your ballot in one of those drop boxes at your city hall or whatever.
To that end, two things. Make sure you sign it.
Yes.
Okay, please.
Yes.
Because the number one reason why ballots are not counted is because you guys forgot to sign them.
Yeah. Don't forget.
But the other thing is because this is going to all places in the universe, not just California. So there are some places where there are fake drop boxes.
Yes, really.
Yeah, to make sure that you're getting the right drop box in most counties, they will have a list of drop boxes with the ballot, right? So it's accompanying the ballot. It's in the same envelope when you get the ballot.
Yes.
So just look there and it will have the locations.
You can also go to the Secretary of State website. You can go there and that will tell you legitimate ballot drop-off locations. And not only that, but here in California, you can also track your ballot. You can go online. Yay! I haven't looked up mine yet. I mean, actually, we dropped it off at the drop box 3 weeks ago. So it should be in there. I just haven't looked yet.
But actually, it was important for me to vote. And so Don and I filled out everything. And we drove to City Hall over in Campbell, over by the library. They have drop boxes there. Mm-hmm. Which are legitimate drop boxes. And it was important for me to vote as early as I could. And voting is a very important thing to do. Now, I'm not saying who to vote for, but as far as I would do, is I would vote for a grilled cheese sandwich over Trump.
Yeah.
You could do a better job, but that's just...
We can tell you who not to vote for. So everybody's feeling a lot of anxiety because we are coming upon this election. And just a reminder, because we've had so many mail-in ballots, it could take a while to count. So if you're expecting, you know, to have an absolute confirmation on election night, that just might not happen because they've got a lot of counting to do. There's a lot of states, you know, they can't even touch the ballots until the polls close on election night. So it could take a while and that could cause some anxiety. So the other thing I want to talk about in this podcast is what to binge watch instead of all this supposition about the political process. There are a lot of really awesome TV shows that you can binge watch instead. And I have a list of suggestions. I went ahead and sent those to Johnny and I wanted to ask, what on my list are you also a watcher of?
Oh, there's a couple of them. Actually, let me pull up the list. Now, while we do that, now you've got some of the newer stuff that's actually out there.
But I want to start with the old stuff. Because, see, me personally, in the pandemic, with all the stress and all the craziness going on and being disconnected from actual friends, I get comfortable with, I discovered when I went through my list, what is it that makes me love a show? You know, what is it?
Right.
And it comes down to characters. I fall in love with the characters in the show, and that's why I love the show, and that's why I want to keep watching, because I want to know what happens to them next. So that's my, I found that that is what makes me like a show more than another show.
And I completely agree with you. Character development is important. And particularly like if it's something like Blackish, where the characters just get more and more outrageous as the seasons go on. That even makes it more fun, because you look at, if you're watching this, that's a natural progression. You don't even realize it until you're there and you're like, what the hell? That's good, just good writing.
Right, right.
Older series for me would have been 60s and 70s also.
That's really older, yeah. Well, if you go back that far, and this is going back far for me because I think you're a little older than I am.
I'm 172.
Yes, I was guessing that. That would
in metric.
I think you're just a little bit older than me. But my father used to watch Taxi.
Oh, I love Taxi.
And look at all the famous people that came out of Taxi. I mean, you've got Christopher Lloyd, Danny DeVito, Ted Danson. No, not Ted Danson. You know who I'm thinking.
God, he was the maid on...
Tony Danza.
Tony Danza, thank you.
Yeah, they joked about him on Friends when Phoebe said, wasn't that sweet that Elton John wrote that song for Tony Danza? And they said, what do you mean? Hold me closer, Tony Danza.
Forgot all about that.
That's tribute song.
Friends could be on that list.
Yeah, Friends. You know, Friends was really good. I really enjoyed binge watching it, but now it's a little cringy.
I cringed at the time because I was thinking they're living in New York and they don't have any, and everybody's white.
Yeah.
Like a lot of my wife's family immigrated to New York.
Uh-huh.
And so I know there's like a large Caribbean community in New York. But yeah, I mean, it's just the racial thing.
Yeah, the racial thing, but also there's some weirdness about LGBTQ issues in it too.
Yeah.
Which are a little, although, you know, you have to give them props for Ross's wife left him for another woman. And they kind of touch on that, which was a big deal at the time. It wasn't normalized for there to be lesbian relationships in sitcoms at the time. So you do have to give them credit for branching off into those topics. Well,
and when I watch Mrs. Doubtfire, there's a just real simple scene where Robin keeps calling. His character.
Right.
He's calling Sally Field's character. But one of those is like, I don't work with boys because I used to be one. And now I'm like,
Yeah. You're like, oh, yeah. No.
The rest of the movie, I absolutely love.
Yeah, I agree. And, it's one of his better works.
Well, and I've had the good fortune to have met him. So, yay me. I'm lucky. Well, I'm alive. So I'm lucky.
You are very lucky. Well, I have some on my list. Let's see if any of these are familiar to you. For my older list, I tried to pick, sitcoms that had at least 5 seasons because, like I said, you get to like the character. You want to watch them a while. You want to see where they go.
Yeah, the progression.
So the one exception to this, actually, so I'll do my exception first. It's kind of a quirky little series. It was only 3 seasons. It was called The United States of Tara.
I never did. I keep hearing good things about it. I never did get to see it. So it's on my to watch list. Yeah.
So Tara, the reason it's so weird is she has what used to be called multiple personality disorder. So she's dealing with this psychological issue where she has different personas. And she had been medicated for a while. So the series takes place where she's decided to go off her medication and her family is being supportive of this. But she has these very drastically different characters and you have no idea what she's going to be from one day to the next. Like one is this character, Buck, who's like sort of like a classic Republican dude, smokes, drinks beer, swears, wants her son, who's gay, to man up and just like, urgh. And then one of her other characters is this teenage girl who then steals clothes from the daughter and takes off to the arcade. So the acting is superb. The characters are great. And it also does a really good job talking about mental illness.
Yeah, that's important. As an actor, I can appreciate playing different characters. It's just so hard to do. Like, and I'm not talking about like playing the evil brother on a soap opera. I'm talking about like a person with multiple different personalities. You have to make them distinct.
Yes.
So the audience knows, oh, okay, this is this person, not that person.
Right. And she does such an amazing job that she also changes her clothes at some point, but she does such a good job changing her affect that you can immediately see once you've watched a couple episodes, oh, that's who's here now. That's that. She's switched over. Uh-oh, look out. Here comes Buck or whatever it is. It's just so that is the first one on my list, which you have not seen. Have you seen Psych?
Yes. And I was going to mention Psych. Psych to me is fantastic. Oh, by the way, if you're going to have Psych on there, you have to have Monk on there.
Yes, you're right. You're right. Monk was not on my list, but that's a wonderful. They kind of do some crossover kind of.
Yeah, because you'll get more out of Psych. If you watch Psych, it's about this detective who, I mean, like, he's really a detective. He actually is very observational. He can actually judge things, remember things, plot details, see these minute details and such.
Yeah, he has like an eidetic memory.
But to get hired for the police force, he had to pose as a psychic.
Right. So he pretends that he's psychic and it's all a big scam.
Yeah, and they kept the scam going and going and going. And just the witty humor on it, and it's just a lot of quick wit on it.
But the best part for me is the friendship. He and Gus are just like the best team of straight man, funny man, Gus being like working as a pharmaceutical rec, all like uptight and stuff. And he's the one who's like straight lace, all that. And then you've got Sean, who's
bouncing off the walls.
Yeah. Until he went to work as a detective with the police department, I don't think he'd had a job for more than 6 months.
Well, I swear one of the running gags on that, took place in Santa Barbara, because Lord knows there's a bunch of murders taking place in Santa Barbara. Crime ridden. Yeah, so I think that was one the reason why they chose, because like, could you pick a more benign city?
But it's also just really sweet because the characters have been friends. Oh, and Gus happens to be Black, and they've been friends since they were like 5 or 6 years old. So there's always like a flashback to something that the two of them did when they were little kids. And then somehow that ties in to what's happening in modern day in some way.
That's true. And I like those sequences. I do also like the relationship in between Sean and his dad.
Oh, that's true.
His dad's like this detective guy.
Kind of a hard ass.
Yeah, if anyone's not seen the show, okay, seriously, if you've not seen the show, do yourself a favor and see the show, because I can laugh my ass off to that show today.
Yep. Right? got eight seasons.
Yeah, and it didn't feel like it. And that's the thing. When I've always been of the theory, leave them wanting more.
Yes.
And so that's why my entire show is no more than 90 minutes. Then I'm done. Hour and a half. Leave them wanting more. These people that drag out comedy where it's like 2.5, 3 hours, you know, oh, God, ego trip, I get it. The only thing worse than that is like a TV show that doesn't know when to stop.
Right. It just trickles and trickles and trickles till it slowly dies.
Now, would I do a show after it's jumped the shark? Oh, absolutely. I would be the like, oh, Johnny Corn's now on the show. Well, we know it jumped the shark now. That show's going to be canceled soon.
Well, there's a couple on my list that not only left you wanting more, but like it was like, what? I can't believe you ended that. Did you ever see Eureka?
I saw some. I did not see enough to actually get hooked on it.
Yeah. So Eureka takes place in a secret town that is basically run by the government that was created by Einstein so that super geniuses could go and do their work. But it's funded by the government because they kind of siphon off their ideas for the military and stuff. But because of its premise, it is just super, super weird and quirky, like bubble universes and having to save the world from meteors and crazy right. stuff like that. But your main character is an average air marshal who just happens to wind up in the town when they need a sheriff. So he is probably like the least intelligent in the whole town, but he's very observant. He's very down to earth. And so he helps them negotiate these crazy things that go on in the town. And it's just, it's constantly changing. It's got really good character development. It's like small town sci-fi.
Right.
It's just a bizarre and crazy concept. So I love that part. And then from that, they created a sort of a sister series, which was Warehouse 13.
I was about to bring that up.
So did you watch Warehouse 13?
I have heard all about it. I have not seen it, but I did realize it's they're kind of related to each other.
They are. So Warehouse 13, the concept is that there's like these warehouses that have been going on for hundreds of years where they put these artifacts, which are like objects that cause crazy things to happen. So if you think of like Trading Places where they like the touch the thing and the mom and the daughter reverse, there are these objects that cause weird and crazy stuff to happen. And these agents, it's their job to go retrieve these objects when they show up in the real world. So again, it's like real sci-fi, but sort of mystery. And once they get these things, they have to go to the warehouse. And so far, there's been 13 warehouses, and that's why it's Warehouse 13. They have crossovers of some of the characters into Eureka and into Warehouse 13 because they're kind of sister series.
See, that would explain like why I haven't seen my Mazda since.
It's in Warehouse 13.
It's in Warehouse 13.
Apparently, it causes your spleen to explode.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Definitely nobody should find that car again.
No. And it's, you know, quote, totaled, quote. Yeah, uh-huh. In all state.
Yep, it got retrieved by the agents. So Warehouse 13 has 5 seasons, and Eureka also has 5 seasons. Oh, yeah, I was going to say, you can find both of those on Amazon Prime in case somebody is looking for where you can stream those.
You know, actually getting back to Psych.
Yes.
Where the other one was, like where you mentioned Amazon for the other two series right. just now. Do you know where you can find Psych?
Yes, you can find them on Prime. And apparently they're still showing them on USA Network.
Oh, okay. Well, just for the audience out there that may not.
Yeah, absolutely. And United States of Terra, you can find on Hulu with a subscription.
How about Chuck?
Ah, Chuck. We haven't discussed Chuck. So are you a Chuck fan?
I love Chuck.
So I was totally unfamiliar with Chuck until this pandemic. My boyfriend David found it. He's like, oh, we should watch Chuck. I'm like, what's Chuck? Apparently, Chuck happened while I was living in Costa Rica. So I had no idea that Chuck even took place. So we binge watched Chuck. Oh my gosh. Great series. So fun. So Chuck, the first airing was 2007. So Chuck, he was up and coming and went to college and stuff, and then something went wrong. And he wound up working in this electronics store because he got kicked out of college. And then through a series of weird events, he winds up getting a huge amount of computer information put into his head. And his head is storing all this information. So then he's got somebody from the FBI and the CIA who are his handlers because they need to be able to access the information in his head. Only he's just kind of this goober guy who works in an electronics store, and now suddenly he's living the life of a spy. And he also has this great sidekick, best friend, who is, he's kind of a goober when it starts out. And of course, Chuck falls in love with the female handler, and it's just a lot of weird spy adventures, but also just really funny and quirky and weird, and they evolve as characters so much throughout the course of the show. So, I don't know. I really loved Chuck. It also has Adam Baldwin in it.
You know, that's a name you don't hear every day.
Yeah, and Zachary Levi, yes, plays Chuck. Now, Zachary has gone on to have some pretty big roles. The most recent one that I've seen him in is Mrs. Maisel.
Now, that's one I haven't watched on purpose.
On purpose?
Yes, because whenever there's a series about a comedian,
uh-huh,
or, you know, the comedy world or stand-up comedy or anything related to that business, I start throwing things at the TV because about maybe 3 or 4 minutes into any of these series, I go like, that is not how that works. That's not how that happens. I start analyzing it and going like, no.
Well, I will skip ahead off of some of my older shows and move on to Mrs. Maisel because I think you would actually be pleasantly surprised with the way they handle the comedian situation in Mrs. Maisel because it starts out as a shit show.
And that's what comedy is. Like 90% of the time when you're doing comedy, when you start out, you're not that good.
Right. You're not that good. You're playing in dives. There's crap going on. It's a shit show. And I assure you, at the beginning of Mrs. Maisel, it's a shit show.
Okay, see. And so maybe. I've been very reluctant because, like, you know, hey, here you are. You've been doing comedy for 3 months and then you find an agent. It's like, what?
Okay. So without ruining the plot, because I don't think it really will ruin the plot, in her case, she kind of stumbles into it out of angst. Her husband is kind of trying to do stand-up on the side, but he's a total hack. And she's taking notes every time he's on stage. And then he cheats on her. She gets really drunk and winds up on stage one night. And it kind of blossoms from there, but she has no agent. She doesn't get discovered. The bartender at the bar thinks she's so great that she decides to manage her and she doesn't know what the fuck she's doing. So,
okay.
Yeah.
That, all right.
It is definitely not a quick rags to riches story.
Right. And they skip out of all the struggles and all that stuff, like usually. And people say, like, Johnny, you had a national commercial. You did some runway modeling this year. And then I'm like, yes, but now look at me. Huh? But.
Well, as somebody who, I mean, I have a background in live theater, so they were my family when I was a teenager because I got kicked out of the house. So if it was one of those very unrealistic rags to riches stories, I'd have hated it too. But it's pretty legit, and it also does a really good job kind of talking about class issues because Mrs. Maisel comes from a very well-off Jewish family.
Okay.
Like she probably owns a million hats, this woman, you know, always dressed perfectly, her makeup just right, just, you know, perfect. But her manager, I don't think the woman owns a bra. She dresses as a dude and she carries her clothing around in a paper bag. She's like the other side of the river completely. And so they're from totally different worlds. So that comes up a lot throughout the show, too, of just Mrs. Maisel not really understanding where she's coming from and vice versa. Like, oh, my gosh, this is the world you live in. This is crazy.
And it's funny because there's a lot of that in the world. So maybe I would enjoy it. Now, which network is that on?
Mrs. Maisel is an Amazon Prime original, and it is an award winner.
Now, Umbrella Academy, I've not heard of.
Umbrella Academy is a Netflix original. It's only got 2 seasons out so far. But again, it's a real sci-fi time traveling.
Oh, right up my alley.
Yeah, there's time traveling involved. And it's got this great young actor in it, Aidan Gallagher. And he is, I'm guessing he's about 14, but he's playing a guy like 80 years old.
Okay, so he's pulling like a Mork from Mork and Mindy, where he's actually aging
back. He went to the future, and then he came back to the past and wound up in his original body from the past. So he's got the brain of the 89-year-old and all those experiences, but he's in a kid.
Got it.
And he is absolutely brilliant. He plays it so well, I just can't even. But like I said, it's sci-fi, it's unexpected. It's one of those series that keeps you guessing. You don't even know what to expect. And at the end of every show, there's usually something where you're like, what?
So, do you watch Doctor Who?
I do. I mean, I haven't watched many of the recent episodes, but, you know, it's been going on for like 30 years, so I've definitely seen several of them.
Well, and I'm a big fan of Doctor Who. And in fact, on the back of my Ruby, my former car, may she rest in peace, there's a license plate frame that says my other car's a TARDIS.
Oh, nice.
The reason why I bring Doctor Who up, which is totally worth binging.
Yeah, binge some Who. Definitely worth it.
But when you do, it's like, do per season, because there's an overlapping arc.
You can't jump in the middle of Doctors either.
Yeah, you have to take it from the beginning of the season to the end of the season to get the arc.
Right.
And also, if you change Doctors, there's like a lot of clues that will, in that season, that will end up coming back.
Right, they might be tying up the loose ends.
Yes. Now, the reason why I bring that up is someone that liked the Umbrella Academy, right? If you're a fan of Doctor Who, for example, and there's a lot of fans out there, do you think they would be a fan then probably of Umbrella Academy?
I think they would enjoy it. It's definitely quirky like that. It's a totally different kind of time travel. Yeah, you would definitely like Umbrella Academy. Have you seen any of the most recent episodes of Doctor Who? Have you seen The Lady Doctor?
I have seen The Lady Doctor. I have not seen the latest episodes because I had them all recorded or I binged the whole season. Having said that, I like her.
I do too. I can't figure out why there were fans who flipped out when we switched to a Lady Doctor, because they foreshadowed that the last Doctor leap. He leapt. And then he's like, oh, I was kind of hoping I'd be a woman this time or something like that. There was a throwaway line there where it definitely foreshadowed that it was coming.
But also, I've talked to some fellow enthusiasts, shall we say, that were saying for years, if there's ever a woman doctor, I'm going to stop watching.
Oh, good grief.
And I'm like, really? You realize Time Lords don't exist. This is made up. It's fiction.
Well, I have a weird story about Doctor Who. When I was in high school, there was this guy that dressed like the doctor with the scarf and the trench coat and the hat.
All right. I know the one.
Every single day of high school, he dressed like that. I don't know how he took it because it was freaky hot. And he had the trench coat, the scarf, and the hat every single day, this guy.
See, that he's got to be like a super fan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Is that probably, I don't know your age, but it sounds like that probably would have been the current doctor at the time, I'm thinking.
I want to finish off our conversation about shows with one that it only has 2 seasons. Absolutely hilarious. It's called Sex Education.
That's another one I hadn't heard of, but it sounds, just from the title, I'm like, huh.
It's on Netflix.
Okay.
And the basic premise is awkward teenage boy whose mother is a sex therapist.
It's already good.
So incredibly embarrassing for him that his mother's a sex therapist. And then through a series of weird events, he winds up being the sex therapist at his high school.
Interesting.
So he's got a friend who's kind of brokering clients for him, and he's trying to help high school students with their sex therapy issues because he's got way too much information. Meanwhile, he's got a mother who asks him extremely awkward questions. So are you masturbating yet? But what I like about it is not only is it hilarious, but it actually is educational.
See, and I like that where at least the information they're giving out is accurate or fairly accurate. Whereas, like, the problem I have with some of these shows is when, no, that's not true at all.
It's really accurate. And it also covers things that are important, like consent.
Right.
Something as simple as consent is covered, and body shaming and things like that are integrated into the stories very well. They do a really good job.
That's good. I'm glad that they pick up on these issues.
Mm-hmm. And it takes place in Europe, and his best friend is gay and black.
Ah, see? There you go.
Are like the best of friends. It's just a really sweet relationship between the two of them, in addition to all of the other parts of the story. That's just like a little relationship thing that's really, it's just really sweet.
I will say that one thing that I'm grateful for with casting now is casting's more diverse than it used to be. And the other thing is that I'm glad that there are more roles and probably not enough. There are now more roles out there for LGBTQ characters.
Absolutely. And I said this before. Well, my very first podcast that I released here was an interview with my transgender daughter. Clearly, it's important to me.
Well, right.
LGBTQ rights they were important to me before I found out that my daughter was transgender. Now it's even more personal, of course.
Right. And you do see transgender characters now.
That's true.
Orange is the New Black is one that comes to mind, but...
Yeah, I haven't seen that one yet. Oh, well, I should warn the listeners, if you do get into Warehouse 13, absolutely wonderful. The ending sucked. They basically canceled it suddenly. And so the ending didn't resolve in a satisfactory way because it was like they had to tie up a bunch of loose ends. It's very sad.
Worse than the ending to Lost?
I couldn't get into Lost. I started watching Lost, but then there were some things that were logical to me that I couldn't work out, like the guy who kept getting fatter even though they were stranded on an island. I mean, I guess they did explain that away according to some people I've talked to, but no, I never really got into it. So I don't know how unsatisfactory the end of Lost was.
Well, let's just put this way, I could have written a better script. I didn't say that. Well, I've written a few scripts, but I'm not known for that.
Are they hated for that ending as much as I've heard people hated the end of Game of Thrones?
Oh, Game of Thrones sucked too. Oh God, that was the ending where I'm going like, what? I'll tell you, no, Game of Thrones, that was bad. Okay, they're about equal.
They're equally horrible.
That would be a good survey to put. Which was worst final episode, Lost or Game of Thrones?
We're going to ask you, you've listened to the podcast, which one was worse, Game of Thrones or Lost? We'll give you a final vote count here in a couple weeks. We're voting on the election and you can vote which is worse, Lost or Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Johnny, I am really glad you came on. I am going to have to cut the hell out of this to patch it all together. I am so glad that I got you on here. You seem a lot more comfortable this time around.
Thank you. Well, I'm just happy to be alive, right? So I'm spreading the joy to everybody.
Well, thank you for spreading the joy. And I'm just, you know, besides loving that I got a chance to interview, I'm glad that we just got to have a conversation because you're an awesome human being.
Gosh, thanks.
Thank you. Thank you.
And thanks for having me. Hey, everybody, have a great tomorrow.
That was a great interview with Johnny. I know we went a little too long. To be perfectly honest, we went a lot too long. And I may have to air a second episode just to cover all of the other stuff that I couldn't fit into this episode. I will be putting those links up on social media right away. However, I am packing my bags and getting ready to go to my hometown of Sonora to be spooky this weekend. So Monday the 2nd is when we will have all the updates on the podcast portion of my website. If you're looking for that, I don't want to disappoint you. Just go check it out on Monday. And please, please, please donate to Johnny Korn's GoFundMe. He could really use your help. Thanks a lot. Have an awesome day. That's going to do it for today's episode of Unpacking Life's Crazy. If you'd like to learn more about this episode, our guests, or anything else related to Unpacking Life's Crazy, check out the podcast page of my website, esperanzaphoenix.com. To support what I do here, please consider purchasing some of my artwork, either at my Etsy store, esperanzapaints.com, or at espphoenix.redbubble.com. Last but not least, I want to offer a special thanks to Chelsea Wild, the talented musician who composed the theme for this podcast. To find more of Chelsea's wonderful music, visit minorbirds.info. Remember to subscribe if you want to be notified the next time we release an episode. And until then, take care of yourself and those that you love.